I just want to read you a scripture in Acts 20, verse 28. I don't think we've got it up on the screen. It's just one verse. So if you have your Bible here or your smartphone or whatever you use to read the word of the Lord, you can just turn with me to Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. And it's in the context of Paul saying farewell to the Ephesian elders. And he says a few things there that I just, when I thought about it this week again, I just found very, very powerful and very, very reassuring. And I just want to share some of that with you. So I'm reading from the NIV, Acts 20, verse 28, and it says, Paul speaking to the elders in the church of Ephesus, and he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Let me just read it again. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And the first thing that I found very encouraging was how that verse describes us. Because what was true of the Ephesians who believed in Jesus Christ is true of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? And it says that they are God's flock. They are the church of God. And both of those are really powerful descriptions of who and what we are. Okay? A flock has a shepherd, and the shepherd takes care of the flock. And God is our shepherd, and he looks after us. He leads us and guides us. Leads us out to pasture, leads us in. And there's a famous psalm of David, who was himself a shepherd before he became king, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in green pastures," etc., etc. And the other word that is used is the word, the word church, and in the Greek it's ecclesia. You've probably heard the word ecclesia, and it actually comes from two Greek words, ek, out of, and kaleo. The ecclesia part comes from the word kaleo, which means to call. It was to call out of, and it was a Greek term which was used politically in the Greco-Roman Empire. So when they had like a meeting, the citizens would be called out to a meeting, to an assembly. That's why it's often translated assembly as well, or church. Be called out of their houses to an assembly, to gather in an assembly, and then they'd make important decisions about the city in which they live. But the New Testament usage goes back even further than that. It doesn't come from the culture. It comes from the Greek Old Testament, the so-called Septuagint. And when the Greek translators translated the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek, they translated the term the assembly of God, or the people of God, as ecclesia. And the reason why they did that, I mean, where did Israel come from? Where did Israel originate? The nation of Israel. God called them out of Egypt to himself, to gather unto him, to worship him. And that reminds us that we are God's called out ones. We are the ones that he called out of the world and to himself, and to be gathered together to one another. And that is who we are. But what I just ask you is that, when you think of who you are, is that the first thing you think of? Is that the first group you associate with? The church of God? Or do you firstly associate with, you know, Afrikaners or Zulus or Khoisas or whatever? Do you first associate with your ethnic group that you belong to, or do you first associate with God's people? Is your physical identity, your ethnic identity, more important than your spiritual identity to you? Or is your spiritual identity more important than your physical or ethnic identity to you? What do you think of as yourself first? How would you describe yourself to someone who doesn't know you in terms of the group that you belong to? Would the church of God The called out ones of God, would that be the first group you associate yourself with and say, I belong to this group first and foremost? Because let me tell you this, you will belong to this group, the called out ones of God, for eternity. And yes, your ethnic identity will still be there. You'll still be white or black, and you'll still be able to speak, you know, Zulu or Khoisa or Afrikaans or English or whatever language you speak. But what is the first group you associate with? What is the first group you identify with? Is it the Church of God? God has called us out of the world and to Himself. I just want you to close your eyes just for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment, right there where you are. Just remember what God called you out of. Remember your Egypt. Remember your bondage. Remember your slavery. Remember your oppression. Remember your heartache. Remember what God called you out of. And remember that He called you out of that to Himself, to be part of His people. He's called out ones. Just thank Him for it. Say, thank you, God, for what you called me out of. Thank you for the slavery you set me free from. Amen. Sometimes it's good to remember these things because we forget, right? We forget that usually the trouble that God has already delivered us from is much greater than the trouble we're in now that He has to deliver us from. But then it says, here in the last portion of the verse, it says, be shepherds of the Church of God, the Ecclesia of God, which He bought with His own blood. In other words, it's the Church of God, the church that belongs to God. Why are we the called out ones that belong to God specifically? And the next part of the verse says, because He, who's the He there? What does He refer to? God, of course, right? He, God, bought us with His own blood. That is one of the most astonishing verses in the universe, in the whole Bible. That is one of the most astonishing verses. I mean, it's so astonishing that many even Bible translators and commentators want to deny it and say, no, it can't really have said that. That's too deep and too heavy. I mean, surely it might be. Just couldn't have said that. But that's exactly what it says. We are the Church of God. You know, the church that belongs to God. Why? Because He bought us with His own blood. And that to me is so comforting. You know why it's so comforting? It's comforting because I know the price that God paid for us. The price that God paid for us is greater than the value of the entire universe, of the entire creation, of all the diamonds and golds and precious gems and precious metals in all the universe, in every star, in every galaxy, in the entire creation. Because it is the blood of the one who created all of those stars and all of those planets and all of creation. It's His life blood with which He bought us, with which He purchased us, with which He paid for us, with which He purchased us. And it is the Exodus metaphor again, just like behind Church of God, Ecclesia, called out ones of God, is the Exodus metaphor of being called out of Egypt to be God's people. So behind being bought is also that Exodus metaphor, because we were slaves in Egypt and He ransomed us, He bought us free with His own blood. He bought us to Himself. Now, think about the implications of that for us, for you personally, and for us corporately. What does that mean? What does that mean about how much God values us? How do you treat things that you value very highly? You look after them, right? You take care of them. You tell other people to be careful around them, not to mess with them and not to break them, because they're precious to you. That's how you treat things that are of high value to you. Now, something that is of such high value to God that He would give His life for it. How do you think He's going to treat that? That ecclesia, that church, that group of called out ones? How's He going to feel towards us? How's He going to treat us? when the housing bubble in America burst and there was that depression, I can't remember the year, 2009, somewhere around that, I can't remember. You guys remember where it was. Lots of banks were folding and lots of companies were in danger of folding and going bankrupt. And there was one big company, I think it's an insurance company in America called AIG. And they were, on paper, they were bankrupt. But they were so big, and America was so over-invested in them, that if they crashed, the whole economy would crash. So America was so over-invested in them that the government decided we cannot afford them to fail. We cannot afford them to crash. We've got to intervene. And they did. Now, what this tells us, the fact that God bought us with His own blood, means that God is over-invested in us. God is so invested in us that He will never let us fall. Because He's already given everything. How do you think that should make you feel? Safe? Absolutely. Loved? For sure. Secure? Without a doubt. Because God, the most powerful, the most wise, the most faithful being there ever was and ever will be, is so over-invested in you that He will not let you fall. So no matter what else around you is shaking and unstable and uncertain, you can be certain of this one thing, that the God who bought you with His own blood, the God who bought us with His own blood, He's committed to us. And He will take care of us. We can be sure of that. Does that comfort you? Does that comfort you? And then the third thing I just want to share, the last thing, just very briefly, it says here, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, those are churches in that area which Paul and other guys like him planted. And in a sense, they appointed elders and leaders in the churches. I mean, Paul even says it, I think it's in Titus, he says to Titus, you know, go and put into place, you know, what's still lacking, and appoint elders in all the churches that we planted. He says, you know, go back and do that. So it's not like Paul is denying the fact that he appointed leaders, but he's saying that behind all the human decisions, there was a divine decision in terms of leadership. He says, you are leaders in the church of Ephesus because the Holy Spirit appointed you as leaders in the church of Ephesus. And in this time, as Alistair hands over the baton to Fani, I think for you guys that can be very comforting to know, and I know for some of you, you know, this might feel very sudden, but it is something that we've been speaking of. Alistair and I spoke about it already last year. We sort of started realizing that Alistair and Esther's time in Bloemfontein was coming to an end, and we started talking about it. And it was just amazing also to see, and I'm sure Alistair and Fanny will share a bit about this, just how the Holy Spirit orchestrated everything falling into place with Darby and Mina, and Alistair and them being available, and Fanny and them being available. And we really trust that these are moves that the Holy Spirit is making. And I know that for some of you that's uncomfortable because you really love Alistair and Esther and you don't want them to go. And I appreciate that. But on the other hand, we've got to trust the Holy Spirit. Right? We've got to trust Him. After all, it's His church. It's the church of God. It's not the church of Henny or the church of Alistair. It's the church. God. And he's the one who appoints leaders. And he's the one who moves leaders. And so, you know, if you're sad, I, you know, in a sense I'm sad with you because I'm also not going to see them as often. You know, I come to Bloemfontein more often than I go to PE. In fact, I've never actually been to PE, not for church stuff. But, you know, so I'm going to see Alistair and Esther less often. So I'm sad about that. But I also know this is, I'm confident that this is what God wants. And this is a move that God is making. And it's with that confidence that they're going to PE, and it's with that confidence that Fanny is coming to Bloemfontein. With the confidence that it's the Holy Spirit that's moving them. And I want to invite you to have that same confidence. You know, a couple of months ago, you know, I think all leaders sometimes sort of doubt their abilities as leaders, you know, whether it's as a pastor or a parent or a manager in a workplace or a teacher or whatever you are, you know, if you're a leader, you sometimes doubt your ability. And I was going through a patch, you know, where I was sort of doubting my leadership ability. And you know, if I'm honest, I'm not the greatest leader in the world. I know that. You know, I have certain skills, I have certain abilities, and I lead as well as I can. But I know I'm not the best leader in the world. But and you know, I sort of was feeling down and sort of getting down on myself a bit. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, but you know, Shofar Joburg is the best leader in the world. And at first I wanted to argue, and then I got it. And I got it. The best leader, it's not me he's referring to, it's Jesus he's referring to. And if you're a church of Jesus Christ, you can confidently say, we have the best leader in the world. Doesn't matter whether it's Henny or Alistair or Fanny pastoring the church. The ultimate, I mean, we're just under shepherds. The ultimate one shepherding the church, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, is Jesus, and he's the best leader in the world. He knows what he's doing. He will lead us through these turbulent times. He will lead us through lockdown. He will lead us through the challenges that we're facing. Because we are his flock. We are his church. He called us out to take us in. He has never failed us yet, and he won't fail us now. And I want you to just want to invite you and encourage you. Let's step into this new season. Because for you as a congregation, this is a new season. But step into this new season with that confidence. Number one, that you are the flock of God. You are the church of God. You are the called out ones of God. Number two, that you are the church of God because he bought you with his own blood. He's over-invested in you. He cannot, he won't let you down. He won't let you fall. And thirdly, with the confidence that the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. And he's the one making these changes. And he's making the right changes. Even when it's in some ways a bit uncomfortable to us. Amen. You ready to trust the Lord in that? If you are, I just want you to actually stand with me. I'm just going to pray for us before I hand over to Alistair. Thank you very much. Yes, Father God, Lord, I just consecrate your people to you, this flock, this church, this congregation, your church, which you purchased, which you bought with your own blood. This church, whom you have filled with your Holy Spirit, and that you are leading by your Holy Spirit. I just consecrate them to you. I just pray, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you led them into the season of change and that you'll lead them through, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will bless them in it. Thank you that you are committed to them. Thank you that you will never leave them or forsake them. Thank you, Lord, just like you promised Joshua on the edge of the promised land, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Thank you, Lord, that they don't have to feel lonely, that they don't have to feel uncertain, that they don't have to feel forsaken or abandoned, that they don't have to feel afraid or anxious because they know you are in control and you've got them. I just pray your blessing over them, Lord. I just pray a tangible sense of your presence upon them. And I pray, Lord, that you will make them bearers of light and bearers of hope in a world that is dark and despondent. And that they will go with the encouragement that they receive from you and go and encourage those around them. In Jesus' name. Just bless them. Amen.